Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Lowe's.com, do-it-yourself projects. Just finished mine up. Bar cart. Relax, enjoy my home bar. Do it. A man who doesn't drink regularly but should, because it's just fun. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst. I don't know if he doesn't. I've gone to dinner with him before. I think he enjoyed something. You know, it's a very stressful life covering sports, writing about sports like Rick Bucher. All right, let's go to Bukes via the Coward Global Satellite Network. I don't even know. I mean, you're San Francisco. You must enjoy a nice glass of Pinot or something once in a while, right, Bukes?
Actually, no. Not part of my – I am not a drinker.
All right. Well,
but I do enjoy hearing you talk about manscaping. I could do that for hours.
All right, enough of you. All right, let's start with this. Luka, Morris, dirty or not?
No, was not dirty. If dirty for me is when you are purposely doing something to injure somebody. This was not to injure him. This was to get under his skin. The gamesmanship with Luka in this series and in this game in particular was ongoing.
Yes.
If you wanted to hurt him, he'd kick him in the ankle or he'd step on his foot and push him in a certain direction. There's plenty of things he could have done to hurt him. And that to me is what dirty is. Do I think it was cheap? And do I think it was gamesmanship? Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you can't stop a guy, you got to get physical. What do you make of that? You know, everybody talks, we've seen the Lakers at their ceiling in the last 48 hours and the Clippers at their ceiling in the last 48 hours. Who do you like? Clippers, to me, have so many guys and so many ways to beat you. Your thoughts about both ceilings we've watched.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that we've seen the Clippers ceiling, even as dominant as they were over the Mavericks. Ultimately, I still see Doc going deep into his bench and starting a variety of players in lieu of Patrick Beverley not being there. Keep in mind, we don't have a Pat Bev, and he is an important part of this team. So that is leaving them short of their ceiling. I just think they give you a glimpse. I mean, honestly, they didn't even really game plan that much for Luka until last night. They started to do a couple things to make life difficult for him. So look, the Lakers were impressive. They did what they had to do, but the Clippers had to stymie and muzzle a Dallas team that was very high on itself coming off of a very emotional overtime win. Meanwhile, the Lakers had to beat a Blazers team that had already been beaten a couple times in a row.
You know, it's funny about Kawhi. Rob Parker and I talked about this an hour ago. Is we know we're all kind of prisoners of the moment. I'm guilty of it. If so, you know, Patrick Mahomes wins a Super Bowl, suddenly, you know, he played bad for three quarters, but he wins a Super Bowl. He's the greatest player of all time. Like,
right.
And Garoppolo outplayed him for three quarters, had a bad throw, and now he's a bum. But it's going to be interesting. If Luka wins third title, third team, you know, what are we going to say? I mean, Rick, this is like Jordan couldn't do it on a second team. We're talking about territory, and we always get, well, he doesn't have MVPs. He doesn't have this. Bill Russell has got 11 titles, and we still think Jordan's better because 6-for-6. And the bottom line is if he wins the MVP, it's the third MVP, the third title, the third coach, the third city. What are we going to say about him in 1 month if he wins?
There's a couple factors here. And number one is comparing eras at this point is just so difficult because we go to numbers and the numbers are just vastly different. There are more possessions. The game is played faster. It's not nearly as physical. And in many cases, look, Kawhi is one of the bigger guys on the floor. And again, if we're talking about Kawhi in terms of what he's doing, he hasn't won an MVP. And he hasn't been outside of Toronto. I don't know that you look at him and say he was the, without question, the star number one player that San Antonio played around. Yes, he was the finals MVP. Yes, he had a big role. Whether it's LeBron doing it three times in three different places or it's Kawhi doing it in three different places, I think the bigger statement is Kawhi, this quiet guy from San Antonio, went and won a championship in Toronto and then went to LA and the Clippers, and he had the team built as he wanted. He went where he wanted, and he won yet another championship under very diverse circumstances. I think the business of the NBA and how teams are built and the empowerment of players, I would say Kawhi Leonard is making a much bigger statement on that platform than he is in comparing him to the accomplishments of all-time greats.
So the Rockets, they blow a 2-0 lead. I still like them. I say, but we all freak out when the favorites lose. Westbrook does appear to be coming back fairly soon. Should they be freaking?
I don't like him.
You're freaking out about Houston. You don't like Houston right now.
I'm not freaking out. I'd freak out if I thought they were going to win the series because I picked Oklahoma City. And what is happening is what I anticipated happening, which is in this bubble, playing every other day. I know we don't have the travel, but nonetheless, a short runway to this playoff caliber basketball. Any team that is relying heavily on one or maybe two superstars, I expected was going to be compromised. The longer this series goes, the worse it's going to be for the Houston Rockets. And this is the issue that I have with the criticism of James Harden since he's been in Houston and has been playing this style. We say that he's not clutch. Well, the reality is, when you play a certain predictable style and you put all of it on one guy's shoulders, the teams that you're playing get familiar and they get comfortable and they make the game increasingly harder for that one guy. So I have no reason to believe that James Harden isn't as good shape as he can possibly be, but you're asking him to single-handedly get this done. And once you get to that sixth or seventh game, the opposition has a game plan, and you are running, if not on fumes, certainly fatigued. And so I would expect, and look at his numbers as we go forward, as the series progresses, his efficiency starts to dwindle. And yeah, I would expect that that's going to continue to be the case. And Oklahoma City, on the other hand, they're throwing Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, Shai Alexander, Gilgeous Alexander. Like, they got multiple guys who can make plays and create things. And I think ultimately that's going to win the day.
So Joy and I were talking about this. We could have been on the air, off the air. I think it was on the air. We were talking about this. In the history of the NBA or the NFL, leagues, networks put their stars in the big spots. There's never been a time in the NBA where the two-time MVP, just named Defensive Player of the Year, number one seed, is playing at 10 in the morning Pacific, the early window. And yep. I said, one, not for everybody, not for Dame, but when you become an MVP of the league and a number one seed, you're either going to want titles or cash, branding. He doesn't have a massive shoe deal. The league is saying, we'll move the schedule for Zion. We'll bury Giannis in Milwaukee at 10 a.m. And this league, agents and shoe companies, there's a reason why they want these old guys to play overseas in the Olympics. The players don't want to. It's shoes. It's money. It's global reach. Giannis is playing the early games. This is why I believe this, Rick. If they don't get to the finals, his agent, his shoe company, he's going to send some pressure that you're the best player potentially in the league.
Yeah.
You're playing at 1 o'clock on NBA TV. Tell me I'm wrong on this. Tell me I'm nuts.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm going to tell you you're dead wrong. Because you're taking the American view of what success is.
Yeah.
I got to have a signature shoe, and I have to have the cash, and I have to be in the big market. I need to be James Harden. I don't want to be in Oklahoma City as the third wheel. I want to be in Houston. I want to be the guy with the $200 million Adidas contract. That is not Giannis Antetokounmpo. It is Tim Duncan. It's the international, the European, it's Dirk Nowitzki. Like, Dirk Nowitzki went forever without winning a championship. The only perk he got from Adidas was that I think they made, like, normally they don't make half sizes past 13 or 12. And for him, they made an exception. They made a 16 and a half. That was his perk. Like, Giannis isn't built at least from talk, unless there's some dramatic change or unless there's somebody in his camp that is going to convince him to change his principles and his mindset. But you heard it from Giannis when he accepted the Defensive Player of the Year award. Like, he's thanking Budenholzer. He's thanking Brooke Lopez sitting next to him. He's saying all my teammates should have their name on this. Some guys do that, and they're just doing it because they know it looks good. That's not Giannis. Giannis feels indebted to the Milwaukee Bucks that they're the ones that took a chance on him. They're the ones who taught him about American football, and he feels indebted to the Milwaukee Bucks to bring them a championship, as opposed to kind of, I hate to say it, but it's the LeBron James mindset of, I expect you to bring me a championship. It's a different approach. And that's why everybody thinks that this, you know, this run is going to be a referendum on what Giannis decides to do. He's from Greece. He came up a different way. He's not part of our society. He wasn't raised that way. And I don't expect him to act that way ultimately.
It's very interesting. Isn't that interesting? So the European guys are more thankful.
But look at the Gasol brothers. They stayed in Memphis forever. Nobody other than Elvis stays in Memphis forever.
That's a very good point. All right. You know, you come up with good stuff for not drinking. I mean, it's off the top of your head. It's very good.
You're going to hold that against me?
No, I'm not. No, you're a great, great dinner companion. All right, Rick Bucher, everybody, Fox Sports NBA dude, great seeing him. Got a new book out. A new book out we'll talk about next time he's on the show called Rebound. Look it up on Brian Grant, who I covered for years. It's a fascinating read. He talked to me during the break. It sounds fascinating. We got to go, but good seeing you, buddy.
You got it.
All right. There we go. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to drink. And I'm not. I don't drink to excess.
I know lots of people that don't drink.
Really?
Hmm? I'm not one of them, but I know lots of people that
don't. Really, don't even enjoy like a nothing.
Hmm?
Wow. Goulet, do you drink?
I haven't yet today.
I had a glass of wine last night.
Yeah, I had a cocktail and a half last night.
I can do two, not during the week. Two, yeah. It's rough for me.
Two's fine.
Start a little earlier in the day.
Yeah. Well, maybe I should stop. You know, I went 16 years without a drink.
Like from the time you were born until you turned 16?
Then I turned 17 years old.
I didn't drink until my second semester of college.
Oh, boy. I should tell you the story. One time, I'm not going to get into it. My late mother, I'm not even, brother.
Yeah, I didn't drink in high school.
I drank first time a junior, too much, yeah. But I'm not, I like a social lubricant. Just to have a cocktail and just, listen, a lot of stress in my life.
I have had too much to drink several times throughout my life.
No, I haven't.
You have never been drunk.
Junior year of high school, once in Vegas on New Year's Eve, and maybe once in college. I like to stay in control. I don't like to be out of control.
Good for you.
Now, black tar heroin, I've gone way off the reservation. Kids, I kid because I care. Just joking. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Pacers have announced that they have fired head coach Nate McMillan.
Oh, boy. This league's great, aren't they? By the way, half the roster's hurt.
Wait for it, because you're going to – it's – wait. So in his four seasons with Indiana, McMillan ranked third in franchise history in wins.
All right.
But he only had a record of 3-16 in the postseason.
Well, they don't have – you know, Paul George left.
They are looking at Mike D'Antoni to be his replacement if the Pacers, I mean, if the Rockets don't renew his contract.
Okay, I'm done. So, by the way, tell me, he lost Paul George, Victor Oladipo was hurt. By the way, they lost in the playoffs to LeBron's teams, the Heatles, Sabonis isn't playing, Oladipo's been hurt.
It's four seasons.
I mean, we got the NBA is brutal to his coaches.
Yeah, it's
absurd.
No,
how brutal they are.
Nate McMillan is very well respected around the league. That was not the move. I mean, I understand that you just got swept, but I mean, come on, it's the bubble. Like you want to give it another year, like just one more year. I think we're all giving everybody a little flexibility this year. I don't get it. The Sixers are a different situation. Okay, they have been going through.
Yeah, but even this, the Sixers situation.
And I don't even think that's Brett Brown, but something had to happen.
102 players in 7 years for Brett Brown.
But Mike D'Antoni, with all of his rings, is the
Tom Thibodeau available?
He's not.
No league in America is more unfair and brutal to coaches than the NBA. There's a lot of things I like about the NBA. When it comes to coaching, they're
rough on coaches, and then it's a coaching carousel. So it's like you fire someone and their staff, and then you bring in someone else that's been fired and their staff. Ty Lue is reportedly a leading candidate for the Sixers after letting Brett Brown go.
Yeah, I think he's dealt with stars before.
I like Ty Lue, and I think he should get another opportunity. Obviously, everyone's getting another opportunity. I wouldn't take this job. I would take the Nets job if it's available to Ty Lue. Now, the Nets seem to be taking their time because they're not even in these conversations. But also, you know, the Pelicans job is available as well. So Ty Lue is meeting with David Griffin, seen meeting with David Griffin in the bubble. But yeah, that's the direction the Pacers are reportedly going in, according to Woj. So Ben Roethlisberger is back after missing 14 games with an elbow injury last season, but he revealed he's actually had pain in his elbow for years, and now that it's feeling better, he's hoping the pain is gone for good. He said, I've been feeling this pain in my elbow for 13, 14 years. I've had a small tear in there the whole time, and I've dealt with the pain. You just kind of get used to it. I've had that pain for so long that every day I keep waiting for it to come back, and luckily, by the grace of God, it hasn't come back yet. Hopefully, it never does. He also lost some weight during the offseason.
Well, he's not known as a grinder, so I mean, that's like the worst kept secret. Joe Flacco and Big Ben in the summer hang out with their family, and they don't do the Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Drew Brees thing.
Well, I mean, when you have a ring, it's difficult to,
is it?
You know, I mean, clearly for him, like certain people, you go either way. Like either you get successful and then you continue doing what you need to do to maintain that success, or you get successful and you get comfortable. And look, it's not a hot take that Ben Roethlisberger is not a gym warrior. All right. Like we didn't come up with that.
That's kind of like players have talked about that for years.
Right. And I'm from Pittsburgh. The one thing I will say about the Pittsburgh organization that is very well run from the top down,
yes,
very well respected, is like, how long are we going to keep pretending like this is a Super Bowl level organization? Like, can we have that conversation? Is it safe to have that conversation yet?
Joy, they've got the last playoff win was against Kansas City 4 years ago. They didn't score a touchdown. They've beat the quarterbacks they've beaten in the last like decade in the playoffs are Matt Moore, Andy Dalton, and Alex Smith.
Every year, the Steelers are expected to win a championship, regardless of the
I don't even think they get to the play. I think they're the third best roster. I would not be shocked. Well, I picked them to go 7-9.
I just feel like there's a severe lack of accountability when it comes to the Steelers.
There's things I like. I love T.J. Watt. The linebacker Minkah Fitzpatrick deal I like. Their O-lines are
lots of great pieces.
Yes.
There's just something missing.
Rooney
with the
Steelers, family has a great.
Like, if you say that,
people freak out.
Like, no, there's a consistent amount of evidence here that this is not, that there's something needs to happen. And I love Mike Tomlin as well, but like, there's got to be some moves made, or at the very least, just be accountable for what's happened over
the past
couple
years.
That's
a good word. They're not. I don't think they're always accountable. They're a little loose for my taste.
Everybody doesn't like honesty. We're America's honesty brokers.
Yeah, right. That's the show. That's the new. First of all, this show likes contact, and we're America's honesty brokers.
We're hands-on around here. Finally, Julian Edelman has played his entire career so far with Tom Brady, but now he's embracing this new chapter with Cam Newton. He posted a picture of himself as Batman next to Cam as Superman with the caption, "The night is darkest just before the dawn, and I promise you,
I like
dawn
this.
Is coming."
I like this. This is fun.
I feel like they were a little generous with the scale of height.
Yeah. They obviously, if Edelman's closer to the camera there. He
is
looks
that
a little,
what it is? They're just working the angle?
Yeah, he's got a little.
Look, it's fun.
It was funny.
It's funny.
Edelman's kind of funny on social.
I'm really looking. Yeah, and I like that he's embracing this. Like, look, Tom Brady's not here. We're still going to make it happen. Like, we're
yes.
going to see.
Edelman's one of the senior
Edelman
spokesmen.
Edelman is really, he's great with relationships. And he's clearly investing time in getting on the same page with Cam Newton.
Isn't he dating supermodels and stuff?
I cannot confirm that. No, I haven't kept up with his dating life.
I think he sometime with someone.
Did you see the new Batman trailer?
No, who's in it?
Robert Pattinson, Zoe Kravitz.
Is Batman?
He plays Batman. It looks really good.
Robert Pattinson. He's very moody.
Exactly. Yes.
Very.
I was very skeptical because, you know, Dark Knight is a great series.
Is Batman moody? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's different people, so.
Yeah.
And he's an anti-hero. You know, he's supposed to be a little dark.
Yeah, he is the anti-hero. Yeah. Robert Pattinson is very, he's always kind of borderline.
He's got a little darkness.
A little darkness.
Yeah. It's like something else going on there.
Yeah, John makes a great point. Bats aren't great. They're not nice. They're a little edge to them. Yeah. Good point. Robert Pattinson. Michael Keaton, George Clooney, Val Kilmer,
Christian Bale. Christian Bale was the best so far.
Yeah, he's the best in everything.
But I'm optimistic about
Christian Bale's America's best actor right now.
He's an incredible actor, yes.
He is. And Christian Bale is America's best actor. He can come on the show. A friend of mine saw him in Hollywood driving a Ford truck. He's driving a pickup.
Is that new?
Well, that's
new. I guess, you know what? If you drive a pickup truck in Hollywood, that is actually news.
So Christian Bale's the best American actor. Who's the best American actress?
Well, he's not from USA.
Where's he from?
He's, what is he, British?
Yeah, he's British.
Christian Bale is?
Yeah, he's just got
that's our... That's how good of an actor
yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he's that good of an actor. I know. I thought you were kind of being
he's
funny.
He's not even ours?
No, he's not
ours. Oh, the hell with him, then. You know who I like? I like Russell Crowe. Oh, he's from Australia. Okay, what about...
Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks.
Oh, I love Tom Hanks.
You like Toms.
Tom Hanks now lives in Greece or something, doesn't
Denzel.
He?
Denzel.
Who?
Oh, yeah. I actually think Tom Hanks has left as well.
We got nobody left. Our country's just, nobody wants to be here
Leo,
anymore.
We like Leo.
Oh,
right?
I love Leo DiCaprio.
There you go.
I like Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Like him. I saw him at a party. He liked me a lot. More than Stephen A. Who else? Oh, Matt Damon I saw. Did I tell you my Matt Damon story?
No.
So I go to a UFC fight. Dana White gets me good tickets, and I'm second row. And my wife likes the Jason Bourne series.
Yeah. I mean, great.
So there's Matt Damon in a Red Sox hat. And my wife goes with me and starts going, there's Jason Bourne. There's Jason Bourne. And Matt Damon turns around and I just went. And he
did he love it?
Well, I think he looked at me. He's a sports fan, so he would know who we are. So he looked at me and I just said, I'm sorry.
In all fairness, that's a huge compliment. Like, he should just live his life
oh,
as
Oh, my
Jason
God.
Bourne.
I went on a vacation with my wife one time. We watched Jason Bourne movies for 4 days.
Yeah. That's a good vacation.
No, we were in Miami, and I'm like, it's Miami. Let's party all night. My wife's like, Jason Bourne series. You've got to watch it. She loves Matt Damon. I like Matt Damon, too. We're way late on this stuff.
Are.
Let's take a break. Best fan bases.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
Top
News.
10 fan bases in the NFL. I'm way late on this.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Good show today. Rick Bucher. Nick Wright, Warren Moon, Rob Parker. Nick Wright, I had never been mad at me until today. Was literally outraged.
He's very upset.
He gets very upset. So there's this new thing just over 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL season. And yesterday, NFL on Fox revealed their bracket for the best fans on the NFL. So you can vote in the NFL Ultimate Fan Bracket on at NFL on Fox. And I thought, instead of just like who's more popular, I would give you what I believe are the 10 best fan bases in America in the NFL, and why I think they're the 10 best.
Okay.
Number 10.
The Patriots. The most followed NFL team on Twitter and Instagram. Now, here's why they're only 10. It's really easy to be a fan of a 20-year dynasty.
True.
When you're winning 98% of your home games. Now, they're great, and they're loyal. Tom Brady merchandise sales continue to be great, but it's... I've seen empty seats there. It was just 22 years ago. So I docked them for, okay, they're great, but good God, it's easy when you're winning every home game.
Number 9.
I think the loudest stadium in the league is the Saints. They have the 7th highest home attendance, 8th highest total attendance last year. I think their fans have had to endure things through the years, bad football. The natural disasters. I think they're the most game-altering fans. It's the loudest environment in the NFL, according to players I've talked to, so they're number 9.
Number 8.
Ravens. I think the merchandise sales for their star players have always been fantastic, and it's a really tiny town. It's half the size of a neighboring Washington, D.C., And again, I think they mean more to their city than all but maybe Green Bay and New Orleans. And again, it's a tiny town, and their merchandise sales through the years have been unbelievable.
Number 7.
Eagles, third most Twitter followers. It's a sports city that has two sports talk radio stations that obsess over. In a crowded sports market, the Eagles are easily the number one talking point and the number one draw. The highest away attendance of any team, so their fans travel as well. And I believe you can make an argument. They're at times unbelievably abrasive, probably the most abrasive fans in the league, but you do get some bonus points for being a little delusional.
Number 6.
I would say Buffalo, because they've had to endure bad football and awful weather. And they jump through tables and they've lost their marbles. But I got to tell you something. When you've been, Philadelphia's mostly been good. Buffalo last 20 years has mostly been pathetic, and the weather's the worst in the league, and they still show up in mass, and they're incredibly outspoken. The Bills Mafia on social media, they get bonus points.
Number 5.
Seattle had over 100% capacity last year, meaning they not only sold out every game, it's standing room only. And Seattle's not a huge market. Also, the Seattle 12th man jersey is often among the leading jersey sales in the NFL. Having lived there, they endure a lot of wet. You go with a raincoat for about 7 of your 8 home games. They're also, I would say, they, along with New Orleans, their fans dress up more. There's more face paint and dress-ups and wigs outside of New Orleans than any. It's a costume party yeah. in Seattle.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Denver. In a crowded sports market, I think they've been loyal for 40 years, and they've had some bad teams.
Number 3.
Kansas City. Terrible late weather. Patrick Mahomes, number 1 merchandise sales. Took the number 1 spot away from Brady. So when they're good, their fans buy like crazy.
Number 2.
Steelers, third most Twitter followers, fourth most Instagram followers, and the most road fans. They travel better than any NFL team. That happens all the time in college, not in the NFL. Steelers number 1 there.
Number 1.
Green Bay Packers. I think it means more to their city, their town than any place. Number 2, total attendance last year in the NFL. Third highest home attendance, fifth most Instagram followers, which is remarkable since the town has 200,000 people. There's my top 10 fan bases. Lowe's, do-it-yourself projects. Go to Lowe's.com. I just finished my bar cart. It's awesome. Go to my Twitter account.